listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We continue our weekly segment, Community Business, with Catherine Weston Fitz. There's a lot going on the economic front. Secretary of Treasury Tim Geithner is now bragging about his actions in the context of the strong dollar policy and the bailout. Once again, he's reciting praise for his predecessor, Robert Rubin, and his work in the Clinton administration, which opened up the banks for the current Wall Street slaughter. Meanwhile, a principal in Texas resigns after a teacher at the school refers to bankers as sleazeballs. And we'll take a look at what's happening in Italy, where the government has seized the assets of Bank of America around a derivatives fraud. There's so much to talk about. Catherine Weston Fitz, welcome back to Flashpoint.
Thank you, Dennis. There is a lot to talk about. Things are happening fast and furious.
Well, tell us, let's start off with you, Skip McGee. Tell us about who he is and his relation to the Kincaid School.
Skip McGee was one of the top bankers at Lehman Brothers. And when Lehman Brothers shut down in the sort of the crisis of 2008, he was one of the people in charge of negotiating, three Lehman bankers in charge of negotiating the remnants of Lehman into Barclays Bank in London. And in that negotiation ended up with a very big contract, and which inspired some articles about him called the highest paid man on Wall Street. And criticism because, you know, many people from Lehman ended up high and dry with no jobs, and so here Hugh negotiates a great deal, including a great deal for himself, and ends up, you know, doing just grand. Well, you know, fast forward to late last year, apparently his son is in the, I believe it's the 11th grade at the Kincaid School, which is a private school in Houston, and apparently one of the teachers referred to bankers as sleazeball, which inspired a long letter from Hugh to the board and has ended up in the principal tendering their resignation, and apparently a coach as well. Looks like there's two resignations. It's not clear whether the teacher who said sleazeball will resign, but the letter was, you know, so we now, and so I wrote a letter to Barclays Capital saying, because this guy's on the executive committee of Barclays Global Capital, and basically what I said is, if you understand how the economics work of the banking business, and so, you know, without making judgment, if you just look at the extent to which the sovereign government credits are used to support the banks, their relationship with the real economy is very parasitic. So the more they make, the more total wealth shrinks. So it's like a tapeworm. But if you just look at the economics of how the banking business works right now, you know, in fact, I went to the Urban Dictionary and other places online and tried to get a definition for sleazeball. And if you look at anybody's effort to define sleazeball as a term, I would say that it's not an inappropriate description of
what was
the
definition?
Model.
What's the definition of sleazeball?
Well, one said it was very close to another word that was a spoiled bitch who gets everything they want. Now, in fact, you know, what they're describing is something that takes resources in excess of what the resources they create for the system. So we're talking about something that eats more than they grow, right? And right now, the bankers have basically blackmailed everybody. The Bank of America case we're going to talk about is, you know, you've had the banks going around basically bankrupting municipalities with these fraudulent derivative deals. So you know, in Italy, it's had the good to see that back.
All right, well, let's just finish up with the fat cat sleazeball.
So, apparently what has now happened is we have bankers really able to intimidate teachers. So here you have teachers who are very, you know, who I'm assuming are not very well paid. And now, you know, a parent who disagrees with something they say can literally turn around and have them all fired. And it's the ultimate kind of intimidation and force we're seeing throughout the economy. It's a little metaphor. So
this guy probably got paid for his two-year contract. I guess it was $50 million, probably the budget of the school for the next 20 years.
I'm sure. So basically what we're seeing is crime pays and the people who make the money. But there's another story here which is very important and relates back to what we're seeing about Geithner. What we're seeing is, you know, I dare say that Mr. McGee does not understand how the economy works. And we've seen that with Mr. Geithner. He just, there was a great thing I have up on the blog where Elizabeth Warren said, you know, well, you know, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And Geithner says, this is about the AIG bailout. And he says, well, it's different for a bank. And she looked at me and she said, AIG is not a bank. You know, he didn't even know. So we're watching. What's coming out is that these people have amazing confidence, but in fact, they're clueless how the economy really works. You know, they're not clear what is and is not a bank, and they don't understand the extent to which they're just playing from a rigged hand, and things being rigged is different than there being economic. So we're really watching extraordinary, you know, part of that group leaving the bell jar and slowly having to face reality. Now, they haven't faced it yet because they can use their money to push and pull and get people fired and whatever.
All right, well, let's look at Tim Geithner. He's bragging now. He's back. He's proud of the policy of the Obama administration.
Well,
he's proud of the policy of the Clinton administration. He's proud.
Well, this is very scary to me because, you know, I'm beginning to wonder if he's not going to be the patsy in chief here. Because basically what this man is saying is he's proud that we engineered a bubble to pull all the equity out of the economy. Now, as you're telling the American people that their retirement savings suddenly has disappeared, you know, and you've issued all these fraudulent securities that their pension funds are now full of, I dare say you wouldn't want to take credit for all of this, but that's what he just did. And again, I don't think you realize what he just did. It's pretty scary. I mean, it's pretty scary to have somebody serving as the Secretary of the Treasury who doesn't even understand, you know, enough about the game to know you really don't want to say that.
Well, he probably wouldn't have been smart enough to cut the deal that you cut. Maybe he was a little bit smarter than Geithner. What's happening in Italy with Bank of America?
Well, Bank of America has been one of the banks that has been engaging in derivative deals with municipalities. The municipalities apparently are now, liable for just extraordinary amounts of money. I mean, far more than they can ever pay. And I have to say that we're seeing the same pattern emerge, not only with municipalities in Europe, but here in the United States, that to me looks like fraudulent inducement. You have big banks, with the help of the federal government, going in and literally, you know, persuading these municipalities to engage in deals they can't afford to do, and you know, and not materially disclosing, you know, serious material omissions. Now, Italy, in the process, has now seized assets from the Bank of America, and in fact, in China, we've had the federal government there encouraging companies to just default. There, it's not municipalities; it's companies. And the Chinese government is supporting them and just saying, just default and walk away.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's the voice of Catherine Austin Fitz. She is our translator from Wall Street to Main Street. She knows a lot about both. She's a former Wall Street partner in Dillon & Reed. She is a broker, the former Assistant Secretary of Housing for the first Bush administration. She sometimes calls herself a recovering Republican, but I think you got to throw Democrat in. I don't think there's any hope. I think both of these parties appear to be lost and owned by the corporate structures.
Right, it's a little bit like McDonald's and Burger King, as Max Kaiser says.
All right, Catherine, I keep hearing good signs about this economy. There are some problems, but all the signs are good. Manufacturing, small business. Well, what's good?
If you dig into the numbers, there really are not good signs that I can see. We have another 7 to 8 million layoffs coming probably this year with the state and local cutbacks, and the retail businesses, will adjust out of that, as well as the resets with the option arms and, you know, other real trouble in the housing and commercial real estate. So we have a lot more to digest, and the question is, can we grind our way through without another big drop like we had in 2008? But we are nowhere near working out the unemployment issues at all, Dennis. So, there is far from a recovery.
And that this unemployment is clearly what's helping to generate the second wave of a massive number of foreclosures.
Right. Now, remember, when people have said for the last 6 months that things are getting better, whenever you hear that case, one of the things they point out is that the stock market's held up and the Dow Jones has held up. If you dig into the corporate earnings, the story is pretty frightening, but the biggest source of corporate earnings that I can tell is layoffs. Now, you know, it doesn't take anybody a lot to figure out that's not the way to get real sustained growth. You know, if none of the customers have jobs and none of the renters have income and none of the homeowners can pay their mortgage, you can't get a recovery. So,
but that's not going to stop AIG's next round of bonuses.
$100 million in bonuses, and that's just the beginning. They have more to pay in March for the people who refuse to, you know, lower their bonuses. So this is just the first round of AIG.
Who is
bonuses.
Getting who? You know, who is getting these bonuses, and what are they getting them?
Yeah.
Well, let's go right to the center of the problem. The center of the problem was what was discussed in Senate testimony yesterday by Paul Volcker, who the president has brought. You know, the president feels a need to have someone in his economic teams who's a serious adult. So we have Paul Volcker back, who's a serious adult, and Paul Volcker says stop the speculative trading, because what you've got is Wall Street churning paper in a way that makes them huge amounts of money. That includes the derivatives that they've sold to the municipalities that we just discussed. You know, so they're engaging in all sorts of speculative stuff, which, and including fraudulent inducement of various people in the real economy. And what that means, Dennis, is instead of our money going to finance real things that create jobs and make real things, it's just going into trading and speculating. It's like instead of putting our money into real businesses, we're going to send it over to the casino and everybody's going to play in the casino. So Volcker's saying, hey, stop it. Well, if you look at all these big bonuses, that's where a lot of it's going. It's the people who are doing that, and they say, well, I'm making big bucks for my firm, and so I need to get big bonuses. And if you don't give me my big bonus, then I'm going to go to London and Zurich and do it, and you'll be sorry. And really, that's what this is about. Can we have a financial sector which is much bigger and much more profitable than the economy needs? And, in fact, it's parasitic. It's pulling, you know, vast amounts of money out of the economy and sending it. You know, it's like a person in trauma. We're sending the blood to the toes and the fingers instead of to the heart and lungs. And now it's sucking critical amounts away from the heart and lungs and saying, I deserve huge and hideous profits because I've succeeded in pulling more money from the heart and the brain and the lungs down here to the toes.
Obama went to Florida, I think, yesterday and announced a $10 billion program for small businesses, and everybody was proud to say that this is money that the banks paid back, as if the banks had done a real wonderful thing to help small business.